Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Chorus Call operator. Welcome to the presentation of the 2021-2022 results in the UniEuro's Sustainability Plan. All participants can only listen to the conference. After the initial presentation, you will be given the opportunity to ask questions. If you want to receive assistance from an operator during the conference call, please dial star followed by zero. The floor goes now to Mr. Nico Santi Monterostelli, UniEuro's CEO. Mr. Nico Santi, the floor is yours.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here. I will walk you through the results of the year that we have just closed in February. Now, as you must have seen based on our figures, it was a very important year for us. We have Marco Pacini, our CFO, and Bruno Lilieri, our General Director. Good morning. Okay, without further ado, let's go to page four of our presentation, and I will once again walk you through the results. Now, once again, record-breaking results for our company. Our turnover last year was the highest one in our company. The profitability is about to be normalized. Very strong cash flows, even if we had to go through the buyback. A dividend is much higher than consensus, and plenty of projects. We will give you some insights on some of the projects today. They are included into the business plan that we have presented just one year ago. For the first time, our company went through a very dear topic today to all of us, which is sustainability. I'm sure Marco will give you insights about this in a minute. Next slide. Well, as you can see, 2021, it was the year where for the first time, UniEuro has put forward a strategic plan based on 5 years. On this slide, you can see the summary of all the targets that we have defined and presented just again a few months ago. You can see that. Next slide again, page six. You can see the guidances that we have given, well, basically one year ago. Well, if we analyze this result in every single item, you can see that in terms of turnover, we went well beyond the guidelines we've shared with you. As for the EBIT, it is absolutely in compliance with the guidance we have shown, again last year. We don't have to forget that throughout 2021, especially from September, there's been a huge impact in terms of energy prices. Let me just remind you that the, you know, energy bill for us increased by 8 million euros. Once again, despite this was an unpredictable impact, while this year we will be able to include it into our accounts, the result was more than 72 million euros, which is once again an extraordinary high result. The same goes for cash flows and NPF, net financial position. Once again, Marco will tell you more. Next slide. Well, here you can see the proposal put forward yesterday by the board of directors. I mean, the dividend can be 1.35 euros per share. Dividend yield is around 9%. Once again, this is one of the highest in the Italian stock exchange currently. Now, this continues, if you will, the dividends of the pre-COVID years. If compared with the pre-COVID years, there's been a remarkable increase by some tens of points. Once again, an extraordinarily high result, which is the fruit of what we have done. You know, our company is really able to generate cash despite, you know, the CapEx, the dividends, and the buyback. Once again, they have reached, you know, the highest levels ever. Let me share with you slide number nine. Now, here you can see, well, the context into which we have been working in 2021-2022. Now, the context is the following. The market keeps growing, and well, frankly speaking, this went beyond our expectations. 2 years ago, the market was up by 8%. In the year we have just closed, the market did +9%. Once again, unique, extraordinary results. Once again, do not forget, this basically approaches, if you will, the Italian market to the rest of, well, the key European markets. of the same sector, so consumer electronics. Now, in Italy, the market, the pre-COVID market, was worth around 14 billion euros, I mean 14.5. After 2 years, we are now reaching 17.5 billion euros, becoming closer and closer to the European average. Once again, we have still a huge potential, so there's a long way to go. Don't forget the French market. You know, basically France has the same population than Italy. The market is now worth more than 20 billion euros. So frankly speaking, what we expect is further growth, even because all of this was led by value growth instead of volume growth. Once again, this is important because it, let's say, approaches, if you will, the average Italian price to the average European price. We have overperformed on all channels, including online. You can see here the unieuro.it, the result is great. Now, as for the offline market, we have overperformed once again by more than 13%. So the market went up by 10%. So once again, basically in every single category, we have had great results. Now, it goes without saying that the growth of the market has been led or guided, you know, by booming sales of TV sets. Well, you know, in Italy, we now have the switch off going on currently. Now, we started the switch off last year and it still continues. So it will have a positive effect on the market until the presentation of the first 6 months result. The Italian government offered funds for consumers in order for them to replace the TV sets. There was a decree approved 1 year ago. Now, the fund has been repeated. So today we think that, and by the way, this means that there's a fiscal relief, which is around 20% of the cost of the TV set. Maximum threshold is 100 euros. Well, if you consider that the average price of a TV set in Italy is now a little bit less than 400 euros, well, this, let's say, help is extremely important. So much so that the booming result that we saw in 21-22 is still continuing currently. And this means that we have high hopes also for the, current context, I mean 2022-2023 context. I'm now showing you slide number 11, and here you can see that our organization, I mean, if you consider, you know, 2017, you know, time window, I mean, from the IPO of the company, so we got, you know, listed, the turnover was 1.6 billion euros. So in the past 5 years, we have reached, once again, undoubtedly an extraordinary result because we have almost doubled our turnover. And I have to say that in the past 2 years, this is what we did organically. I mean, with no acquisitions, we have just, say, opened new stores or points of sale. As you know, we are now in a sort of a standby position in terms of acquisitions. If you know the background of our company, you know that in the past 15 years, we went through 13 acquisitions. In the past 2 years, well, of course, in the pandemic year, we had other priorities because we wanted to protect the company. Last year, the market boomed and the prices of potential targets were too high, in our opinion, so there was no acquisition. But the target's pipeline is absolutely, under control, so we keep an eye on this pipeline. So hopefully we will restart, you know, this distinctive factor for our company in 2017, so during the IPO. So if you remember, and if you already followed us 5 years ago, you know that as UniEuro, we've always, been the real consolidator of the Italian market. Once again, in the past 5 years, so we have added 1.3 billion euros turnover, out of which 700 million come from acquisitions. So, once again, I do think UniEuro was able to show to be the only company in Italy being able to do acquisitions, strengthening and consolidating the market. The market is very fragmented. It still is. So we do have growth opportunities via acquisitions. We're just waiting for the right time and the right price, I mean, to keep going. So this has always been an important activity in the history of our company. So no acquisitions were done last year, but we have doubled the number of stores that opens. On average, you can see this in our business plan, we usually have 5 openings a year. Last year, we did 10 openings. So once again, they will be fully operating in 2022-2023. Very briefly, next slide. UniEuro confirms its leadership in the Italian market. Now, the leadership, is due to the huge network and not just by the turnover. It's a very thick, dense network with direct stores, affiliates, online channels. I have to say UniEuro is the perfect example of an omni-channel organization in a market where being omni-channel is actually one of the most important elements ever if you really want to grow in an ever-changing market. Slide number 13, well, what you can see here is what I have just said, basically. So once again, every single channel managed to grow. The only channel that went down, and this was, driven by us, is the B2B channel. For us, this is an opportunistic channel, so to say. So we sell products, to non-sector companies or companies exporting products to other areas of Europe. So there have been, some criticalities in terms of, availability of products. So we've decided or we prefer to sell our products in the most profitable channels. Once again, the only channel slightly going down is this one. All the other channels are going up. As for the indirect channel, it went down a little bit just because, some stores became directly owned stores. Every single category went up. There's been a huge boom of TV sets, as I said before, so I won't repeat this. Let me just highlight that the services category that you know very well, this is the highest margin-making sector in our company. Well, this business went up much more than the average growth of all the other categories. This is the consequence of a very specific strategic choice made by our company. This is what we've been doing, in the past years. Of course, there's a stabilization on the channels. The retail channel last year, of course, didn't have to go through the, closing times or the, lockdowns that we had experienced 1 year before. So we had the plus 60% of the market, plus 80% of our network. So, of course, the things went back to the post-COVID normal. This is it. Let me now give the floor to Marco. He will give you info on the economic and financial results. Once again, buongiorno. Good morning, everyone. Let me now talk about profitability. Now, EBIT adjusted post IFRS 16. This is the indicator we use to measure our economic performance. So once again, as you can see here, it was 72.1 million euros. As Mr. Nicosanti said, we are in compliance with the guidance between 65 and 75 million. We are also very close to the consensus given by the four analysts. So the consensus of analysts was 73.2 million euros, so the difference is just 1 million. I will now compare the performance of this year with the previous year. Don't forget the previous year was positively impacted by the extraordinary actions, cost reduction. So unfortunately, we had some, time off for staff at the renegotiations of the rental agreements for the points of sale. The impact was 25 million euros. So COVID effect is 25 million euros. Okay, this being done, let me now go through the analysis that you can see on the top of the chart. Last year, so there was the result that this year we had the 72.1 million euros. The turnover is going up. The turnover goes up at 275 million euros. The margin is going down by 0.3%. Let me tell you why. As we said in the previous calls, the product mix or brand mix was negative. This means that we have reduced the sales on some brands that were the highest margin ones. On the left, you can see cost of labor minus 30.8 million euros. 13 million euros. This is the COVID impact I explained before. 9 million euros. This is the delta of our scope. So, as Mr. Nico Santi said, we have increased the number of stores. We have opened 10 new stores. One new store has around 1,500 square meters and 600,000 euros in order to be opened. We also have an increase of staff. This is also based on new professionalism, so new people, new staff. 5 million euros, which is basically 2% of the cost of labor, this is the fruit of new hires. So these are the three main effects to justify the increase of the cost of labor. As for logistics and marketing, I mean, they have two different evolutions. You can see here the growth of the marketing cost and logistics. So as a percent rate of the turnover, they are confirming the historical trend. Marketing is 8.2% of the turnover. Logistics costs are now going back to their normal index at 2.8% versus the turnover, because in the year just closed, the mix has changed between online deliveries, in-store deliveries, and home deliveries versus the non-home deliveries. As for the others, now the bills or energy bills went up 8.5 million euros, of which 5 million euros in the last quarter. We also have other major impacts. Variable rentals went up, so the turnover went up, and the variable rentals also go up. We have another impact here, 12 million euros. This is the COVID effect. So year on year, we have 25 million. So 12 million are here. Other costs and 13 million, as we said before. On the bottom of the chart, you can see the net result adjusted of the previous year, and you can see the adjusted net result this year. Just one point on taxes. This may be one of your questions. There's an improvement of taxes to 1.2 million euros because EBIT goes down, so the taxable basis goes down, and of course taxes also go down. You can see here the taxes are basically down to zero. We have taken an opportunity from a specific law from 2014. For 2015, 2016, and 4 years following this, we have taken advantage of tax relief from intangible assets. So we have underwritten an agreement with the Italian Inland Revenues in December 2021. So to identify the way we calculate this impact, the impact is positive, 4 million euros, which is what you can find in this result. Let me show you the next chart. So from the economic situation, let's now talk about the financial one. Adjusted cash flows, and then I will be talking about the net financial position. Top left, you can see the adjusted cash flow evolution. 49.4 million euros, this is cash flows this year. This is the top of the guidance because the guidance was between 40 and 50 million euros. So just like EBIT, we are on the top of the chart or the guidance. Apart from the complexity of the chart, let me try and be as easy as possible on the 50 million euros. EBITDA is around 100 million euros. So just take the 155 million euros reported EBITDA in green plus the 57 million. This is on the right. So our EBITDA is around 100 million euros. So we have taxes and interest. We have also renegotiated an old debt with around 1 million euros interest plus 9 million euros taxes. So the impact is 10 million. So we had 150 capex, 10 interest and taxes. Then we have the working capital impact. This is due to the fact that we invoice guarantees that then go into our financial statements. So we are positive by 10 to 15 million euros, plus 50 million euros cash flows. So with 100 million euros EBITDA, with the same stock and same debt, what we do is 50 million euros cash flows. On the bottom of the chart, you can see the net financial position from 155 to 135.7 million euros. Okay, first comment about the NFP. The guidance said 145 to 155 million euros, but it didn't include the purchase of our own shares, 12.3 million euros. So from 155 million, we go down to 136, and the reason is that we have purchased own shares, 54 million euros dividends, we have generated cash flows of 50 million euros. Floor goes now back to Giancarlo Nico Santi. Marco, thank you so much. We have already mentioned, the business plan. Maybe if you remember in the presentation of the industrial plan, there were some points that were very important. For example, the evolution of logistics. I'm using the word evolution because we are embracing, if you will, the change of an absolute distinctive factor in our company, that was the Piacenza logistics platform. Well, today we have another target. We want to further improve the service to be given to our customers. And so consistently with this, we have underwritten and signed an agreement with our real estate company so that in 2023 we will open a new logistics platform in Colleferro, close to Rome in central Italy, to be added to the Piacenza and Carini logistic platforms. As you can imagine, and which is what you can see on page 18, so once again, page 18, you can see that also from the graphic point of view, it is sort of evident, I mean, it's clearly visible that, of course, we have this objective. We want to offer customers and consumers any channel. We want to offer a service level that can evolve all the time, but especially it has to be optimized and improved. The investment is up to 8 million euros. We will be up and running starting H2 23. Anyway, we're still working on this. Even the Piacenza logistics platform has been developed and evolved. This means we're now working together with the current platform. We have added two other small logistic hubs in order to once again optimize and manage the so-called large-sized products plus the service part on the after sales. Let me share with you the contents of slide 19. Now here, once again, consistently with the digital transformation we talked about 1 year ago, this is another major project. And by the way, we're still already up and running because we have more than 110 stores. We started from the most important stores. So we have the electronic labels project being implemented. They have many functions. First of all, they improve the information to be given to customers. They also give us the possibility to improve our operating effectiveness because just imagine all the time lost to replace, the prices physically. Today we can do this in a centralized way. This means we can adjust the prices immediately considering competitors' prices. I'd like to spend a minute to talk about sustainability. Now, it's a sort of brand new subject for our company because together with the board of directors' internal committee, we have presented our first sustainability plan. The floor goes back to Marco because this is one of his tasks, managing the sustainability. Back to you, Marco. Thank you, Giancarlo. Yesterday, we have approved the sustainability plan. So 2022-2026 sustainability plan. So it's a four-year-long plan to be closed in February 2026, together with the strategic plan that we have presented June the 10th, 21. Sustainability plan is one part of the strategic plan. It's a sort of a completion of the plan. the right side of the slide, item two, we want to integrate sustainability in our business. When we make business decisions, we always have to consider sustainability. Business choices have to take into account the economic, financial aspects, but also the points of view of every stakeholder, expectations of staff, customers, shareholders, and the community in general. As Mr. Nicosanti said, the sustainability plan is one of the many steps in terms of, you know, the general sustainability scope. Well, this means we have already reached a key target. We have a committee that meets at least once a month. We have the Sustainability Commission. So we are, let's say, passionate in the sustainability culture. We also have an interfunctional committee chaired by Pietro Gaspari, and we represent all our businesses. So that was the beginning of a long pathway. We have updated the sustainability matrix. This is something that we have completely revised. So very briefly, let me share with you the 31 actions of the sustainability plan. We have four chapters that had already been presented June the 10th, 21. You can see the four chapters in the strategic plan. It's important to say that the plan is not something passive. I mean, we just don't sit and wait. But, of course, there would be a yearly review and, you know, integrations. I have prepared two charts, and I will draw your attention on just some of the projects. For example, Cuori Connessi, Connected Hearts. Giancarlo and Bruna really put their hearts into this Connected Hearts project. It concerns cyberbullying, a key topic in today's society, well, especially for adolescents. Of course, we teach boys and girls not to misbehave. Another project on society. This is a new project for senior citizens, a senior citizens project. We want to encourage the elderly to use technology. I cannot mention all the projects. It would take too long. There's another project on culture. You can see here this action in orange. So we manage a huge quantity of data, and of course we have to comply with the privacy and confidential information of our customers. Two more important things. I'm just, you know, picking some of the topics on the slide. In 2024, we want to have an ESG rating. This is important because it is a non-stop continuous encouragement to improve. So once again, ESG means you have to stick to a specific improvement pathway. ESG reporting, once again, this is an objective for 2024. In the future, accounting will also take into account intangible items, including customer satisfaction. So the work of our accountants will change. In this slide, you can see two further pillars. The third pillar is sustainable innovation. So we have the privilege to work with very important suppliers. It is very important for us to monitor and make sure that sustainability is included into the entire supply chain. We just select the specific type of suppliers. Let me also draw your attention on another point, bottom right. You can see customer satisfaction, which is one of the pillars of sustainability. NPS measures the customer satisfaction. NPS is, of course, the Net Promoter Score. This is not just a score. It's much more than a number. It is a cost analysis that we do to improve customer satisfaction. This is an indicator that improves every single year. Let me share with you the last half of the slide where we talk about talents. Talents, this is the name of our pillar, I mean our people, our staff. And once again, it's a simple project, but at the same time, it's brave, courageous, innovative. We measure the eNPS that you can see here on the right-hand side. It's the second last project, and the logo is an I. Now, it's a very important project, very innovative. I don't know if there are other companies really measuring the satisfaction of staff. So this is what we do. This is a bottom-up approach, and we want to know how much staff is happy, or which is the kind of, not customer, but staff or employee satisfaction. We also have plenty of training and education because we need to explain, how this company works. So, our headquarters. So, independent from the pandemic, we have decided to have real work from home. So this is a very technological company. So we want to do something different, so in a nice, pleasure environment. Okay, this also means the sustainability. We can work from the office. So this is another, way to be innovative. Okay, Giancarlo, back to you. Thank you. Marco, thank you. We have listed, some of the key projects, those which are the most visible ones. We have tens of projects in our strategic plan. We are all working hard because we think that these projects are absolutely mission critical to hit the target. Now, the context today around us is really unique and special. So, unfortunately, a little bit more than 3 months ago, a war broke out in Europe. And, this has led to many unpredictable consequences. The inflation rate, once again, is skyrocketing. Energy prices, as we said before, is something that, households are, having to come to terms with. So once again, the context all around us was, again, unpredictable just a few months ago. So again, it goes without saying that considering this context, we prefer to delay the publication of the guidances. We need to have more clarity, more visibility. We need to understand, more and better the context around us. And again, it depends on, all of this, the way of working we can have in the rest of the year. As far as we are concerned, March and April have been very positive months. Now, they have a not very important impact in our fiscal year. But I have to say that for the time being, also in this context, a specific outcome, in my opinion, has been reached, and it was definitely positive. Again, we have delayed the guidances, but of course we do have some, objectives. They are very ambitious, and as I said before, we are, working hard on a daily basis to be able to hit the target. Now, the target we have, and by the way, that was the key objective in the history of our organization. So we want to overperform. We want to do better than the market on all channels, which is what we've always done, maybe with just some minor exceptions. But once again, the track record of our company says that UniEuro has always been overperforming the market. The objective we have also for this year is to get some extra market shares. We've always done that. I'm pretty sure we will do this year as well. Okay, then, this is it. So we can now start with the Q&A session. So together with Marco and Bruna, don't hesitate to ask us questions. This is the Chorus Call operator. We can start now the Q&A session. If you want to ask a question, please dial star followed by one on your phone. If you want to get out of the booking list, please dial star followed by two. Please ask your questions by using the receiver of your telephone. Once again, please dial star one now. First question from Niccolo Storer from Kepler from the Italian conference. Good morning, everyone. I have some questions for you. The first one being the following. Okay, a comment to March and April. So you said that, well, this is a time where your turnover, went up. Can I have some color, some details on the evolution per product category, but also per channel? Second question of mine, it concerns costs for the new fiscal year. Now, you talked about the plus 8.5 million euros energy bill that was unexpected. You said that for this year, things are now clearer. So what should we expect in terms of incremental cost of energy bill and as a consequence, in terms of cost saving, are you thinking of some specific measures to combat, I guess, further increases? The third question is on gross margin. So what about the evolution of the gross margin in the new year? Sorry, Nicolò, can you repeat the third question on the gross margin? Forecasts or evolution of the gross margin in the new fiscal year. So what's the target? Fourth and very last question. We saw that in the last fiscal year, you believed so much on new openings. So you have delayed, the M&A a little bit. So if you find the right time and the right price for M&As, if you don't find those conditions, do you think you will continue organic openings or, last year was an exception? Thank you. Before giving the floor to my colleagues, let me share with you the answer of the last question, which is very easy. Now, today, for 2022-2023, we have five openings in our pipeline. They are included into our strategic plan, by the way, and they have already been defined. We have the dates, we have the plans, we have everything. Now, also last year, by the way, we have foreseen five openings, but then we made 10 because we got the right opportunities. Now, it's exactly what I told you before in terms of mergers and acquisitions. So we are and we want to be very, let's say, wary in terms of opportunities of M&A. So we are just, keeping our eyes open about this. Now, the market this year won't repeat the growth of the past 2 years, the plus 8, plus 9%. I'd like to see this, but I don't think this is feasible. So there should be a slight increase. It was not easy to work on the basis of this year because just think of the Italian macroeconomic context. In December, as you know very well, because this is your job, now the GDP in Italy should have gone up by 6%, while today we only have 2.9%. So is this optimistic? Is this realistic? We just don't know. So we, of course, had to slightly change our budget strategies throughout the past months. Because, again, undoubtedly, as we said 2 years ago, we were in a context for the first time in the history of the world with the pandemic. And today we have a war in Europe after 80 years. Once again, this is a new context that creates, uncertainties. But of course, once again, I'm sure you are familiar with, this situation. I'm sure the market is still in positive territory, of course. I mean, the increases are a little bit lower. We confirm five openings this year. We will be able to, open extra stores, but I have to confirm this, as I said before. Our, potential targets pipeline is still there, and we're still talking about this. Once again, if the price is too high for us, again, if we think the price is still too high, so we can do what we did last year. So we just sit and wait so that prices can deflate and go to the right level. We do have five openings in our plan. If there are good acquisition opportunities, we will take advantage of this. Anyway, the minimum number of openings is five, and we can do better than this. So today, we're at the 280 points of sale in Italy. more than 250 affiliates. Well, every single acquisition has to be made without cannibalizing other stores we already have. So openings are one of the tools to grow, but we have to have, you know, cherry picking when we analyze, I mean, every single region. So once again, top focus on possible acquisitions, because, you know, I'd like to go back to acquisitions because, of course, this helps us boost growth. At the same time, I'm reconfirming the pre-planned openings. Let me go back to the first question on March and April results. It was definitely a positive result because now we are very close to a double-digit growth. So, well, once again, this is really important. Again, let me be frank, these 2 months are not very significant. I mean, together with February, you know, February, March, and April, this is the lowest, if you will, business time of the year. So let's say it's easy to grow when you have figures which are relatively low for these 3 months. Anyway, once again, as for the context and the scenario, so the war started more than 2 months ago. March and April were positive anyway, so this is encouraging, and this means we have high hopes also for the next year. Once again, don't forget, Europe, for the first time after 80 years, has a war, next door, so we know what this means. So it's not next door, but Kiev, so Ukraine is closer to northern Italy than southern Italy, you know. So once again, we really, really have to be very tangible, very concrete. So once again, we really have to understand what this will mean in terms of purchasing or, you know, in terms of the purchasing power of our consumers, because you know, when something like this, you know, very disruptive happens in terms of, especially in terms of purchasing, you know, especially the large, household appliances. So we can see that people are sort of, you know, delaying or postponing this type of purchase. Anyway, almost double-digit growth for March and April. Very significant result, even if, again, the context concerns, I mean, 2 very, let's say, low and weak months. Marco, can you answer the question on costs? Oh, Nicolo, thank you for the question. As for the budgeted costs, let me tell you, and by the way, I'd like to quote the words that Giancarlo has just pronounced. The market will stay in a positive territory. And Giancarlo also said that we have always improved market shares, which is what we also did in the past year. Costs in the next fiscal year will grow because, of course, we will have 5 new openings. Average cost of a store is 1.2 million euros. Okay, so, of course, costs are due to go up. And then don't forget the energy bill. I can't tell you exactly what the cost of the energy will be next year, but as far as our forecasts are concerned, well, we are undergoing another increase. Electricity only will go up by 5 extra million euros. I think that if you consider, you know, plus 5 million euros, we want to be very cautious, okay, and prudent, because this means that we will unfortunately double the energy bill versus the previous year, so including the COVID year. The cost of labor will increase. We are now implementing digital, you know, transformation. So 2% labor cost increase, well, this means between 4 and 5 million euros. don't forget the fuel. I mean, we do deliveries, home deliveries for our customers. We will receive plenty of, you know, a transport request or home deliveries. So, as far as our forecasts are concerned, our costs are due to go up. But this is the typical, let's say, history of Uni Europe. Let me add two things. What about the EBIT? It was 2.4% in the year we have just closed. The year before, it was 3.2%. But if you remove the 25 million euros COVID effect, we would have had 2.4%. We also had 2.4% in the pre-COVID year. Okay, so this is our EBIT. Turnover goes up, EBIT is 2.4. Okay, very last point that I shared with Bruna before starting the call. The company also in the past has been very reactive also to many different scenarios. So COVID in February 2020, so the company had to slash costs dramatically. So the company is able to manage different types of scenarios. But, you know, as Giancarlo said before, this context is different. Let me ask Bruna to answer the gross margin question. Good morning, everyone. Our estimate today on gross margin this year, we foresee a stable, unchanged gross margin with different effects on some product categories. For example, telephones, which is what we see in the first months of the year. So the market there is still very positive, but there's a remix towards physical brands like Samsung in a differential way versus the previous year, where consumers went basically to Apple. At the same time, unfortunately, we had less availability of products for Android devices, especially Samsung. There's a new source of revenues with some suppliers. This is the fruit of our data strategy, especially with Google. We are the pioneers in Italy to access the online quality rebate program in a controlled way. We want to control data, and this is worth some millions of euros. So the context is difficult, but the gross margin is stable and unchanged. Back to March and April, as Mr. Nico Santi said, the Uni Euro online channel is very strong. If you, we don't have the market data, but we have 28% up, while the market is negative by minus 2%. The offline channel is a little higher than the market, pushed up by consumer electronics. Thank you so much. May I have a short follow-up just to wrap up on March and April? Is this growth led by TV sets, or do you have positive signals on gray and white? So there's a possible deterioration of large-sized household appliances. Is this something that's happening now, or is it still due to happen? No, it's not happening in terms of, you know, equipment. No, this is not happening, at least in the first 2 months. Now, consumer electronics played the lion's share. We are the only country in Europe where the TV sets switch-off campaign is going on. We we also have other segments going up. For example, home comfort, once again pushed up by the tax relief made available by the Italian government. So IT is finding it difficult because it really peaked during the pandemic year, where you know people have changed their use patterns. So many people, I mean students, but also employees, had to change the way they worked or studied. So this is the only segment that, of course, is receiving a negative impact. Of course, this is something that we imagined. All the other important sectors, for example, telecom, as I said before, they are still doing great. And versus the COVID year, you know, the telecom segment went down by 4.6% in the COVID year, plus specialists that, you know, had to work hard. We can see now that there's a major recovery for them. March and April, the market on this segment is still strongly positive, doing 4%. And you know, the telecom has a major impact on the market, able to, you know, determine the general evolution of this market. Perfect. Thank you so much. Next question is from Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca, please. Good morning, everyone. Quick questions. I saw some indications or reminders on the strategic plan. Can we consider that the trajectory of this five-year long plan is confirmed? So again, do you confirm the bullets that you presented 1 year ago? Second question, you talked about the second hub. Can you quantify the savings based on steady, constant volumes? Third question is on the M&A pipeline. Is the company considering taking over small chains of stores or maybe larger chains? I remember Pistone, with a turnover exceeding 100 million euros. Okay, just to have an idea of the, you know, targets or sizes that you are considering. What about the timing of the guidance? I think it depends on the consequences of the conflict. Hopefully it will be ending soon. And I'm sure you are waiting for the stabilization of that situation. Last question on the tax rate. Is it the benefit you talked about? So what about the tax rate this year? Thank you. Now, as for the plan, we are in compliance with the plan. So, yes, we can confirm it. So, we don't have to, let's say, change anything today. So, the answer here is very simple. Now, as for the guidances, before giving the floor to Marco and Bruna, well, you know, our target in the next month or so is to have, I mean, the latest date is the presentation of the results of the first 6 months. This is the right time window, in our opinion. As for M&A, we keep, you know, checking any type of M&A. I mean, you know, we made acquisitions, for example, of targets that they were bigger than us. So, again, frankly speaking, no, we don't measure, I mean, how big the M&A should be. So we have to wait for companies to be sold and at the right price. again, we want to be as tangible as possible. We want to pay the right price. There may be some difficulties, on some competitors, which is what we can take advantage of. Now, the market went up by 18% recently, and all the operators, did better. So this is why prices are too high today. Again, the target is not based on size. We have some stores, maybe some tens of stores, that may be interesting. So I do confirm the strategy. We want to move in a very linear way in compliance with what we did in the past. Our company is a cash generator. So again, we can afford acquisitions without borrowing money. So again, I do confirm strongly what we did in the past 15 years in terms of M&A. Now, as for the hub, Bruna, can you tell us more? Good morning, and thank you for the question. Now, by the way, we need to be very clear on the second hub. This is pure strategic action. There will be savings because we will shorten delivery times more or less 2%. Now, this is not the guiding reason, if you will, but as I said before, this is an omni-channel world, so we have to have the right products, right time, and of course in the location which is closest to our customer. This is why the new hub will be in central Italy. In terms of reduction of delivery times, reduction will be 23%. If you consider southern Italian regions, well, we have regions like Campania and Apulia. They will improve by more than 50% of delivery times. This is key for us because of the so-called omni-channel match can be won based on customer experience. We have a huge example, which is our main competitor in terms of the online business. Of course, I'm talking about Amazon. Once again, this is a big, big bet for us. So, yes, so we have quantified savings. This is the first step of the sales operation planning, category management, and then forecasting. This includes the second hub, as we already shared with the market. Okay, thank you. Alessandro, good morning. This is Marco speaking. Tax rate, we confirm more or less 10% in the next 5 years. There is one exception for the current year. It will be lower on the cash flows because I have closed the year with some tax credits, so the so-called IRS and IRAP tax credits. Last year we have paid, too high down payments because they have been calculated based on what we paid in the COVID extraordinary year. So the rule is 10%. That is just one exception. On the current year, I will manage to recover around 3 million euros. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Let me remind you, if you want to ask a question, dial star followed by one on your phone. Once again, any other question, please dial star followed by one. There's a follow-up question from Nicolo Stora from Kepler. Esther Storer. In terms of inflation, what are you seeing on the product prices in general in terms of, let's say, incoming inflation? I mean, how much you pay and how much you have customers pay? Let me remind everyone that our market is a decreasing price market. So the impact on pricing now is quite limited, small. Now, the possible new prices concern the entire market, not just us. Of course, there's a major effect on the only category which doesn't have decrease in prices, which is the large size household appliances, but they suffer the most when the cost of raw materials increase, because a refrigerator, washing machine, home dryer, dishwasher, you know, the material part has a major impact versus a PC, smartphone, or an LCD panel. So large size household appliances is the category that underwent price increases in the past months. Now, prices started going up in 2021, basically from the second half of the year. So we had to take into account the increasing prices of raw materials, plus logistics costs also went up because the post-pandemic demand just boomed around the world, and you know, logistics costs also increased for everyone. So we have already started working with, let's say, new prices in the second half of 2021. Well, in the past month, so we had to consider these price increases. But, you know, as I said before, if the, you know, price list increases, for example, Whirlpool, just to name a brand, then, you know, the price increases for everyone, not just for us. For the time being, we have transferred, I mean, the price increase. It was very limited. Maybe we have increased the price list by 10 to 15%, but with almost all suppliers, we have done some mixes, we had some extras on purchases. This means that, you know, the increase was minor. Now, I do confirm it happened, but, you know, possibly this year there will be further increases in terms of products, selling prices. But as I said before, you know, this increase, you know, touches or concerns the entire market, not just our company. So for the time being, simple example, we have increased the price of a washing machine from 559 euros plus 5 or 7%, and now the price is 579, 589. So it didn't have a major impact, okay? So it didn't really, let's say, concern the potential of sales of that category. So today we don't see this effect yet. Anyway, we decided to have other actions, so much so that you have seen the impact on the stock levels at the closing of the year, but also now this level is higher than normal because of the TV sets switches. Of course, customers want, you know, availability of TV sets. So in the past months, we have increased the TV set stocks. I'm sure consumers have always found the product they wanted on all channels. On the large household appliances, the stocks are slightly higher because I'm sure there will be a commercial negotiation with the supplier. So you have to be in the right condition. If you can delay purchases because you have purchased at old prices, the contractual or negotiation forces are higher. Anyway, this is something concerning, I mean, the negotiation between retail and the industry. So I am used to this. I mean, I started doing this, you know, 30 years ago when the inflation rate was up to 18%. So having plenty of stocks, you know, strengthened the financial statements. The condition is different today because inflation only had an impact on the large size, the household appliances, all the other categories have stable pricing. Now, of course, if you have a brand new smartphone for 1,000 euros, after 1 year in the past, it went down by 200. So instead of 800, it would be 850 today. But once again, this is a minor impact. Again, for the time being, no major impact in terms of selling our products due to an inflation hike. Thank you so much. For the time being, we had no other booked questions. Okay, give the floor back to you for possible conclusions. Okay then, once again, Andrea Moretti, together with me and my colleagues, we are at your disposal for any follow-up you may need. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for your questions. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the day. Arrivederci. Bye-bye. Thank you.